This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Sure, what a blessing it is to share the word. We've heard it's been a busy time of the year, lots of stuff happening. Also at school and with the children and everything. Emily, our youngest one, is turning 3 one of these days. So that's a bit crazy to think that she's not a baby anymore. And it goes quickly. But she's a great blessing. We had like a combined birthday thing, and she was wearing this tutu type thing. Everything, most of the stuff she wears is pink. And so it's pink, and it's had glitter all over it. So if there is still glitter on me, I please don't get concerned. It's just, you can't get that stuff off. She, after this party thing, she had a nap in our bed. And as I put her in, I said, maybe I should just remove this little tutu thingy with all the glitter on it. She says, no way. And I had to put her in the bed with this. So that evening when I got into bed, I got into this bed of glitter. Any case, so if you see some, just please forgive me. It was not intentional. I really tried to get all of it off. She's amazing. Great blessing. Actually, amazing blessing happened the other day. Some of you have heard. But we were reading together, as we normally do, scripture in the evenings. And some evenings it's amazing. Let's just make sure you realize that it's not always amazing, because sometimes the children are tired and I'm tired, or somebody's cranky, you know, and then it's a bit of a battle and a struggle. But most of the time we get through it, and it's a blessing. And this time, the children were asking me about heaven and hell and stuff like that. And we got to chatting around that. And I saw David was really like engaging. Because in the past, we would chat about stuff like that. He'd just make jokes, you know, and I'd ask him, you know, where he's at, and he would just make jokes. He's 5 now. So this time, he was actually really into it, and he was asking me and stuff. And then at the end, I said, listen, do you want to make this decision? Do you want to choose? Do you want to follow Christ? And he said, yes, he wants to do this. He wants to pray. And then, awesome, eh? So we prayed, so now David is born again. Isn't that amazing? And so praise God. Yeah, I must say, as a parent, it's, you know, you're just aware of your shortcomings, and you're just aware of how often you miss it, and how you know, it's when stuff like this happens, you're just so overwhelmed by the grace of God, you know, that even in spite of us, God's grace is at work in their lives. Amen. And the same evening, we prayed for Abby to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So she's excited about a new special language. We can just give glory to God. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Don't worry, guys. There's hope for parents. The Lord's grace is sufficient for us. Amen. Let's just pray briefly. Father, we just honor you for your awesome presence in this place, and we honor you for your amazing faithfulness toward us, Lord, and that in the big things and the little things, we are aware that you love us so much, Lord, and that you've made a way for us. And this evening, I thank you that you know each heart, and you know each life so intimately. You know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you that you meet each one, each single soul in this place. You meet us where we're at, Lord, and that you speak into our hearts this evening. Let your name be glorified in and through our lives, Lord, and let your kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. It's if you guys missed last week, Gili really ministered in a very specific and I think very significant message. So, if you did miss that, he spoke about dealing with fear and anxiety, stuff like that. Speak about how we walk in the peace of God. So if you did miss that, please make a plan. That's a long password. Sorry. I got it right. Okay, with my left hand. Anyway, so if you missed that, please download it. It's going to bless you. It's going to encourage you. It's very practical as well. There's a few bits of my heart that I felt that we need to kind of almost continue, but not at the same, in the same angle, just touch on a few things which I feel significant for us at this stage. Okay. All right, so firstly, we are created in the image of God, all right? Now, that's good news. Now, God is a spirit being, so primarily, you and I are spirit beings. But we are actually made of three parts. So we've got this, we are spirit beings, we have a soul, and we live in a body, okay? That body is going to pass away someday. If you, like me, just, you know, the wrong side of 40, then that's maybe good news because we're going to get a new one, right, one day. So we spirit beings have soul. Soul means our intellect, thoughts, emotions, all of those kind of things. And the body is pretty much this physical earth suit that we're going to exchange for a better one day. So what happens when we're born again is in our default state before we come to Christ, as we are in our sinful, we have sinful nature, we are in need of complete change in being. So when we come to Christ, the scripture says that everything has become new. It speaks of a new creation, right? Everything has been made new. But it is speaking about, the scripture speaks about the spirit that is reborn. The problem with that such a scenario is the soul and the body, although the spirit is completely new, that's what's called born again, you're spiritually new, born, the soul and the body is the same. All right, I'm sure many of you have experienced that. You're like very psyched up and incredibly amazed at what God is doing in your heart and your spirit and what's happening, and then you realize, oh, there's still a bit of a battle going on because I have to take a hold of the promised land. I have to take a hold of the victory that God has already won. There's a process that needs to happen in my soul, in my body. There's sanctification that needs to happen. There's transformation that needs to happen. The soul and the body, in fact, the mind needs a complete overhaul, needs a complete transformation. And a big portion, I would say the overwhelming majority, the largest part of the battle of taking that ground and that victory, of walking in the victory of the cross in our lives, a very large portion of that happens, as Achille said last week, in between your ears, is there in the mind, all right? So we're going to wrestle through that, some of those concepts a little bit. How do we engage with this? How do we trust God for our soul and our body to be transformed, to be sanctified, to be changed, to catch up with our spirit, right? The amazing thing with being spiritually reborn is, as scripture says, we have received everything pertaining to life and godliness. And, you know, if you've ever seen a newborn, Michael Mervitz was supposed to lead worship this evening. Yes, you guys did an incredible job. Thanks so much, band. What a blessing. But then his second daughter interrupted the schedule, and she arrived yesterday. And she, I got a photo on WhatsApp. She's beautiful. She's very small. I always look extra small when you see them. It's good that they're small, eh? Yeah, it's good. Yeah. In any case, what is really amazing with the first time you hold a newborn in your hands, firstly, you know, you get over the fact that this is now a living, breathing, new part of the family. Now, I remember the first morning waking up after our eldest was born, and I kind of knew I'm on holiday. But then I thought, oh, cool, I'm on holiday, and then I'm paternity leave. And then I realized, oh, there's another person. There's a new person in the house. You know, everything's changed. In any case, but you just stand amazed that although they're tiny, everything is there. Everything. To the minutest detail. The little fingernails and little toenails are like tiny, tiny, tiny. And I didn't want to touch them. I had to cut them. just the most traumatizing thing, because you end up cutting a bit of skin off the end of the snipping, you know, and it's hallelujah. And but you have to, because they scratch themselves. Anyways, this is not for this crowd, but anyways, they scratch themselves. But every detail is there. It's a beautiful. Everything is there. Every little minute detail is perfect. They cannot run the 110 seconds yet. But everything they need to do it, they already have it. Isn't that amazing? Same spiritually. Although you are small when you're born again spiritually, you're new, you're born, you're a baby spiritually, you have everything you need for life and godliness. You have everything that you're ever going to need spiritually. You already have it when you're born again. That is for free. That's not part of the sermon. But so the problem is the soul and the body, okay? We need to be transformed. We need to be changed. The big part of the battle happens in our minds, in our thinking. And we need that change in our thinking. So here's the thing, what I've seen. As I see guys get born again, see incredible change happening, see transformation happening, growth happening. Say a year or so down the line, you'd have a conversation with somebody, and you hear they're using the right lingo, you know, they speak Christianese, which you learn quite quickly when you're in church, you know, and talk about blessed and the blood of the Lamb and stuff like that, stuff that you never say about when you're with your friends out there. They'll just look at you funny. But, you know, they say all the right things. But then, you come across some topic and you start realizing, okay, this person has been born again, but their thinking has not been completely transformed. And I find the same in my own life. You know, I'd come across something and then suddenly the Lord put his finger on something in my life, in my heart, and in my thinking. And I realized, the way I'm thinking about this is not biblical. You know, when you read that scripture and it hits you on your chest like this, you're like, I've been thinking about this all wrong. And praise the Lord, he's gracious. You know, we don't get all of that stuff at once. That would be traumatizing. But, you know, you're kind of growing and you're making steady growth. And then you read the same scripture you've read 100 times, but this time you're convicted of something. And you realize, whoa, I need to change. I need to some more transformation happening. I need to change the way I'm thinking about this. So there's a big part of that that happens in our thoughts and in our minds. All right, so, one can't underestimate the power of our thinking and our mind. I read about this guy who was working on these freezer trucks, you know, these guys that transport produce and stuff that needs to be frozen. And he was working in the back, and something went wrong and he got stuck. He got trapped inside the truck, all right? And obviously he's been working on these for a while, apparently, and he knew exactly what the temperatures and everything. And he knew this is it. If we wouldn't get any help, he would die. He would freeze to death. And what happened is when they actually found him hours later, he did die. He was completely rigid, and everything, all his symptoms, everything revealed that he died as if frozen, but the truck wasn't on. Can you imagine that? So because he knew exactly what would happen, and because he knew that he thought it was on, so he died as if frozen, but there was nothing wrong with him. He wasn't supposed to. Does that make sense? I'll give you another example. There was a guy on death row that they asked if he would mind being part of an experiment. This is a little bit weird. But so they said to him, they wanted to see how long it takes for somebody to bleed to death. And they got his permission. He said, yes, that's fine. That we can do this. And they put a screen up so he couldn't see his wrists. And they took some very sharp ice and they pretended to cut his wrists, and then they let like warm stuff flow over his wrists and drip down into bowls and stuff. And so he was convinced he's bleeding to death, and he died in exactly the time that you would normally take. So one cannot underestimate the crazy power that God has put in our thoughts and our thinking, the way, what we believe, what we confess, what we believe about stuff. Are you with me this evening? So would you agree that, you know, we don't want to end up in a place where I'm walking in the freedom of God-ish, but I'm still bound in the way that I'm thinking. I'm still bound because my thinking and my thoughts and my thought patterns have not been transformed. They've actually are still the old thought patterns. We're going to get into that a bit more in detail in a moment. Okay, let's have a look here at an image. So last time, Gilly mentioned, if we go one forward, he mentioned all the stuff that's coming at us, all the information from all different sides. I don't know if you can read that there, you know, different social media, different media from all kinds of different sources. Even when you're driving, there's just information coming at us from all over. If it's not billboards or signs on the road, it's on cars or it's on the radio. Permanently, we're just receiving information. And there's so much that's contending for attention, so much that's contending, crying out for us to pay attention to this, to read this, to click here, to enter here, to, you know, to, if you don't spend this on, you're going to have bad luck for 7 years, nonsense like that as well. But there's so much stuff coming at us from everywhere. And there's so much that is contending and that is designed to keep us bound in our thoughts, keep us confused, keep us occupied, keep us busy with stuff that's not godly, busy with stuff that's not a building. I saw this thing, some image somebody put on social media about this beautiful cabin up in the woods somewhere. They said, if you had to go and live in isolation in this place for a month, with no anything, no Wi-Fi, no nothing, no contact with the world, just complete isolation for a month. And when you come out after a month, they would pay you $100,000 or something. Would you do it? I said, gee, I'd do that for free, man. That's amazing. That's a holiday. That sounds great. You know, I don't think, Abby is 7 now. I don't think we've had a good night's sleep for 7 years. No, just joking. But I've been on a few mission trips away from home, so I've had some really good sleep while I was away. And I just pray for my wife. Okay, but there's so much stuff coming at us. There's so much, you know, contending for our thoughts and our minds. And how do we discern? How do we discern what is godly and what is not? And I don't know about you, I grew up with this kind of image. The next one. So the thing that my dad specifically would say, you know, there's an angel on your one shoulder and a little devil on the other one. And who are you listening to? You know, who's whispering in your ear? Who are you listening to? You know, and he would just joke about it. But it's still kind of a vivid thing. So in those days, it was pretty simple. You just had to remember which side who was on. And then, you know, just to focus, okay, I have to listen to the right one. But these days, it's not as simple as that. There's so much coming from all over. You know, and how do we discern what is of God, what is not? And how do we discern? What do we actually have to focus on and meditate on? And what do we need to discard and get rid of? Now, Gilly did mention, you know, just that problem about over information in terms of anxiety. So please go listen to that if you want to get into that. Okay. Let's go to the first scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, our body, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So when we get born again, there's still a battle that's going on, because, as I mentioned, our spirits are reborn, but we need to take hold, we need to take ground, we need to take the land or the territory that God has already won the victory for. But it's going to, like the, when the Israel, you know, when Israel came into the promised land, they still had to fight and still had to take hold of the land. They still had to claim it. In a similar way, when we get born again, there is still an active sanctification process, an active taking ground, even in our nation, even in prayer. There's different ways we do this. There's a battle going on, right? There's one kingdom that's advancing, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And at the same time, there's another kingdom that has to give way. And this refers to, the scripture refers to the fact that this war that we're in is not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. And a big part of this happens in our thoughts, in our, the arguments going on in our heads. There's a progression that it talks about here. It talks about thoughts that we have to take captive. If we don't take thoughts captive, they turn into arguments. Have you had that in your head? Have you had an argument in your head? Is it just me? You know, just you have these two sides and you're you're kind of having this argument in your own head about something, or you're kind of mulling over something and you're wrestling through something. And if that thing that you're wrestling through is not of God, and it's just, you know, distracting you and it's actually destructive, if we don't take it captive, it turns into this argument. Okay, and if you don't realize, well, this is like a thought pattern now, and the cycle is carrying on, it turns it into a stronghold, into a high thing, as the Bible says. It turns into something that has a hold on you. It turns into something that you believe, even if it's a lie, even if it's nonsense. If we mull on it long enough, and we listen to it long enough, and we allow the stuff that's not of God into our thoughts long enough, we tend to believe it. We tend to, and then that turns into action as well, right? It turns into thought patterns. It turns into a stronghold, and it turns into it results in an action or a behavioral pattern as well. Okay, let's go. Actually, I'm just getting ahead of myself, but let's go on. So, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German theologian. He was active in the kind of Second World War era. Wrote some great stuff. He was executed by the Nazis for being part of the resistance, but he wrote some amazing stuff. So he wrote, "There are not two realities, but only one reality, and that is the reality of God, which has become manifest in Christ, in the Christ event, the redemption and creation." And so he's talking about this whole, this notion that there are different realities, and you know, we need to categorize stuff and subdivide, and even in our thoughts and even in our lives, you know, we've got different realities going on. He's saying, no, there's only one. There's only one reality, and that's the reality of Christ and His kingdom and God and His creation. And how do we make sure that that is the kingdom that's coming even in our thoughts? How do we make sure that our thought patterns and our mind is being renewed, so that even in the way we think, we are being sanctified. And as the scripture says, we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's a process happening, right? Okay, let's go on. It'll make more sense as we get to the practical stuff. Romans 12, very well known. I'm just going to read it from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The version we often quote says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he's making very clear that the default is to conform. The default is to go with what everybody else is going, doing, and saying, whatever is happening on Facebook or the reality, that reality. But he says, Don't do that. Don't copy the behavior and customs. Don't conform, but be transformed, allowing God to transform your thinking, transform the way we think, and you will become a new person. And now, we know I was studying, believe it or not, I studied many, many years ago. I actually studied at this university as well, and then for a little while, and then I studied in Stellenbosch as well. And I studied at one point industrial psychology, and a part of it, what we learned about all these neural pathways, and I probably forgot half of it, so just forgive me if I get it wrong, but it's incredible how the brain works. You know, if you're learning something or you're repeating something or you repeat a response to a specific impulse and you practice it often enough, apparently what is formed is a physical neural pathway that is formed, little connections in the brain. And if that's repeated often enough, that thing can happen quite quickly, and then it just reflex. It just happens. When I was in the Air Force, we learned stuff like that. You know, if you repeat it often enough, it becomes reflex. And then one time my friend surprised me from behind, one of the non-Air Force friends, and I didn't know how it happened, but I broke his nose with my elbow. Yeah, he didn't do it again, so but it was an accident. I just said, I'm so sorry, it's just reflex. You just caught me off guard, I just responded. Any case, so if you repeat that thing often enough, there's this neural pathway that gets established, and your brain then just goes down there as a default. Now, for each of us, this can happen in all different ways, but for instance, if you're thinking about obviously it's got a lot of positive repercussions. So if you're learning stuff or you're learning good reflexes and good impulses, it's all great. But it's also got a negative side to it, right? So for instance, when the enemy throws something at you, a lie or something about your identity, maybe he reminds you of what that grade 8 teacher told you in the math class, that you are completely useless and you'll never amount to anything. And somehow, everybody laughed and you kind of moved on, but somewhere that thing stuck. And so a part of you started believing a bit of it because you didn't take it captive, okay? You didn't deal with it, right? So the enemy might come and throw that at you when you're not feeling great or you're a bit down. And if you don't deal with that thought and take it captive, and sometimes when he throws negative thoughts at us or destructive thoughts, that thought comes in, and if that neural pathway has been established, it might go down a path of, I feel terrible about myself, I feel useless, I feel worthless, you start believing that you're never going to get amount to anything. And then, what happens, it might result into heaviness, depression, suicidal thoughts. Some people, it results into behavioral patterns like self-harming. Sometimes not as serious as that, maybe just eating 2 liters of ice cream by yourself, stuff like that, just trying to deal with this. But you know what I'm talking about. So if there's a thing that is sparked by a certain thought or a certain impulse, and if that neural pathway has been established, it's going to run all the way down. Unless you change it, unless you change that pathway, you're going to end up again there at the ice cream tub or in that depressive state or whatever that means for you. And this is what it means when it talks about renewing your mind, is that we need to renew those pathways. We need to actually have those pathways changed. Because when we get born again, those pathways, a lot of them have been kind of seriously established, right? Let's praise the Lord. I'm so pleased about David and Abby. Emily will get there. But they're still young. Amen? They don't have a lot of nonsense already in their heads, just a little bit of nonsense. But if you the earlier the better. In any case, so many of us, I feel, when we get born again, we actually just need a whole frontal lobotomy. We just need if we just can wash my brain, get brainwashed, get all the other nonsense out, that will actually be a blessing. But so all those neural pathways are established, and we have to trust God to establish new ones, different ones, ones that are godly, ones that are biblical, ones that are that end up in upbuilding, obedient to, you know, in obedience to the word, etc. Let's just go ahead to the next one. It'll make more sense. So we need to change. We need those things to be renewed. New pathways to be established for us to really be free in our thoughts and in our thought patterns. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 from 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail of the armor of God, but he says here that the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's what I've been talking about now. So those fiery darts, those the way that the enemy attacks us, is a lot of those, most of them, are in the form of in your mind, thoughts, accusations, stuff that happens in your thoughts, in your minds that are not of God. Obviously, yes, there are physical ones as well, but I would say a majority of those fiery arrows that he fires at us are in the mind. Are you still with me? So how do we deal with it? How can we make sure that when that arrow comes in, I recognize, oh, this is not from God. This is nonsense. I've been believing it, maybe, but now I'm born again. Now I'm reading the word. Now I'm equipping myself. Now I realize, you know what? That math teacher just had a bad day, spoke. Obviously, it's not right for teachers and stuff like that. Spoke, you know, a word, like a careless word over me. But I don't have to believe that thing. Or it might be a parent or whatever else. It's different ways these things happen. But that's not the truth of God for my situation or for me. So I need to take that thought captive. And I need to redirect. I need to replace it with something. Okay, so Gilly mentioned a little bit about that last week. But I want us to quickly read Colossians 3, and then we'll look at a few practical ways to do this. Colossians 3, then if you have been raised with Christ, so when we get born again, we die with Christ and we get raised with Christ. We seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that's what happens. We die with him. We get resurrected with him. We are new now, a new life. But we need to set our minds. We need to kind of reset, make sure that our minds are now not going as the default anymore, but setting our minds on things that are above. And then there's a few places where there's a whole list of stuff. This is the stuff you should be thinking about. Okay, go read them. Stuff that is pure and holy and of good report and amazing, all that stuff. You know, it says, don't think about these things, and it gives you a list of stuff. But he's saying, set your minds on things that are above. So how do we do that? Firstly, and I like what Gilly said last week, he said, don't just rebuke the thought or the lie or the accusation. If you're just rebuking all day, you'll be focusing on the negative stuff all the time. But replace. Does that make sense? And that's how we actually change that neural pathway. If you realize this is dodgy, this is not of God, I need to take this thing captive before it runs down this well-worn path in my head and it ends up in that same behavioral pattern. I need to stop it right now before it goes there. And I need to make sure that I actually change the path to a new one. So instead of just rebuking, we take it captive and then we replace, okay? Firstly, we replace with the word, with scripture. And for us to be able to do that, for us to be able to recognize, you know what, this thing that I've been hearing is not the truth. For me to be able to discern this is not of God, I need to get the word in me. I need to get scripture in me. I need to, you know, position myself in the scripture, in the word, so that I can recognize, you know what, this is, I've been thinking this thing about myself or about my situation or about life or whatever all these years, but I realize now this is not biblical. This is not of God. So firstly, you know, immerse yourself in the scripture. And I want to really encourage you guys, if you're a young believer or maybe even not a young believer, and you still, in, you know, you're equipping yourself, get around to the Encounter series. Get around to those courses. I know it sometimes sounds like, I don't know, you know, a bit like a drag. Why do you need to do all these life encounter, home encounter, legacy stuff? Because this is what happens, is you're filling yourself with the truth of the word. And the more you're filling yourself with the truth of the word, the more you are equipped to say, you know what, this stuff that I've been believing is not at all godly. How can I change that? How can I? So you take it captive, you change it, you replace it with the word, with the truth of God's reality. Okay? Very briefly, you know, especially with the truth about, this is often what the enemy questions, is about who God is. You know, he questions who God is in your life and the truth of who God says he is in his word. He questions that. And the truth about your and my identity in him. That's a big one. We see this in the life of Christ. He's baptized. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he immediately goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the enemy puts his finger exactly on that thing. Because when he was baptized, for, you know, God the Father opens the heavens and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He affirms in publicly, "This is my Son." And what does the enemy test? He asks him, "If you are the Son of God." He pushes that exact button. In other words, he tests him on that exact thing. So expect that to happen when you get born again or when you start growing. Expect that the enemy is going to come and say, "Are you really the son of or the daughter of God? Is he really who he says he is? Is he really faithful? Has he really promised this? Is this really true?" So that's one of, you know, that's why it's so key for us to have that truth in us. So the truth of who God is, the truth of our identity in Christ, the truth of God's reality versus the reality of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever's out there. How do we, you know, if we need to equip ourselves with the scripture so that we are able to discern that difference there. Amen. Secondly, praise. And this is a very powerful one. If we take that thought captive. Now, you must see this from the enemy's perspective as well, right? Now, he's been doing this for a long time. He's great at this. He knows which buttons to push. He knows which thoughts to send your way. He's watched you since you were in your mother's womb, right? I'm not making jokes now. This is how he works. He knows exactly what your weak points are. He knows what's been an issue in the past, and he's going to put his arrow on that point. Now, he sends that same arrow, and he knows this has been 99% successful all the time. I know this is going to happen. I know this is what's going to end up happening. He's going to go down this slippery slide. He's going to end up depressed. I know what's going to happen, and I love this arrow. I'm going to use it again. And imagine now, he sends that arrow at you, and suddenly you start reading the Bible. And you start praising. And he's like, "What on earth is happening?" This was my weapon of choice in the past. I've been using this on this guy for years now, and now suddenly he's doing different things. He's not doing the same stuff anymore. He's not self-harming, or he's not going into depression. He's starting praising God. Let's change strategy. This isn't working, you know. So if we are able to change that neural pathway, the enemy will soon realize this strategy is no longer working. Amen? So firstly, the scripture. Secondly, it won't stop him from trying, though. Let me just mention that. Secondly, praise. Giving thanks. What praise does is it lifts our eyes and fixes our eyes on Christ, on God, on his goodness, on his faithfulness. And it takes us out of that place. If it's a place of heaviness or despair, of confusion often, it helps us to lift up our eyes to Him, to get a perspective that's godly, and a perspective that's biblical. And I want to actually just throw in here briefly. Thanks for sticking with me. Are you still with me? Shake your neighbor. Are you with me? Still awake? All right, we're almost there. Is this really relevant for me? I'm hoping it's also relevant for you. But there's some of us are uniquely, not uniquely, but some of us are gifted to recognize stuff that's wrong. Okay? This is default for some of us. We will come into a place like this and we'll notice everything that's skew or out of place, or and then our default is to say these things. To say, listen, after, you know, and those are the guys that we need actually to speak to us, because they'll tell us this and this and this is all wrong with the service this evening, or that curtain was skew, or that tablecloth, or stuff like that. And then we say these things, and for other people, it sounds very negative. Like, people get upset. Why do you always see all the negative stuff? Why are you always so negative? Okay, have you heard that? Don't put up your hand. Anyways, so that's a blessing from God, okay? It's a gift from God to be able to see stuff like that. But that blessing and that gift needs to be sanctified. Because what happens if we don't is we get very negative, and we get overwhelmed by everything that's wrong in the world and everything that's out of place and everything that's going pear-shaped. And we're very critical and we're very hard on ourselves. And so trust God, if that's you, if you kind of lean into that direction, trust God to be able to know His purpose and His plan at the same time, right? So, yes, I can see all this stuff is out of place and all of this stuff is wrong in my life. But this is God's promise for me. This is His plan. This is His purpose for this season in my life. I'm going to trust God for the joy of the Lord to be able to press through this change that needs to happen. Are you with me this evening? So specifically, people that tend towards the negative stuff need to watch out for that. And that this praise one is very important for you to continually put on the garment of praise, that the spirit of heaviness doesn't come on you. Amen? And you see what happens with those, if that's your default, what will often happen is you'll get maybe one negative thing or one thing that's not so like a, and when you, and it might be a smallish thing or not a big thing, but if you don't stop that thought from running, if you look again, you at the worst case scenario. Have you seen that happen? Somebody's starts with a what if this happens. I mean, you look again, they're talking about absolute worst case. And you're like, how on earth did you get there? You know, we were just talking about, you know, going for a hike in the mountains, and now we're talking, you know. So if that's you, if you continually end up the worst case scenario in your head, you need to watch that. Amen. And keep on taking those thoughts captive. Keep on adding, not completely rejecting, but adding, what is God's plan? What is His purpose? What is His provision? And what is His heart for me? Amen? All right. Then finally, prayer. We need to replace that with prayer. Chili mentioned this. Imagine every time the enemy throws that arrow at you and you start praying for the lost, praying for the nations. He's going to change. He's going to stop throwing that arrow. Every time he's trying to tempt you with lust or with depression or something, and you start praying for the lost and praying for somebody's salvation, you agree, he's going to say, yes, I need to change my strategy because this is going pear-shaped quickly on me, right? So replace it with prayer. As Kelly mentioned, prayer doesn't so much twist the arm of God or change Him, but it changes us. It changes our thoughts. It changes our minds. And it changes the way we view the situation. Okay. Right. Okay, I'm almost there. So, let's have a look at what's on the next slide. My computer died now. Okay, good. That's great stuff. Okay. So, just to close, now our So if you think about this, if you wrestle through it a bit, you will find that the way we serve God, the way we yield to Him, our submission to God, our submission to His Lordship, our following Him, our obedience to Him, our worship, all starts in what's inside, hearts and minds. That's where it starts. And then even how it works. I've seen this in my own life. I can put up the mask, or I can put up the right face, or pretend everything is in place and have tick all the boxes, say all the right words. But unless that transformation and that worship and obedience to Christ is happening in my thought life and in my heart of hearts, I'm not free. I'm actually just fooling myself. Amen. So, and that was what Gilly was saying, and I remember way back Vander was mentioning that mask thing. He coined this thing which I really like. He said, God cannot change the person I'm pretending to be. Right? That really stuck with me. So, if we are trying to follow Christ, but our thoughts and our hearts and what's happening on the inside is not being transformed, something has to shift. I'm trusting this evening that even as I'm speaking, that the Holy Spirit is putting His finger maybe on a thought pattern or a cycle in your life that you know this has to change. That you know I need to trust God to renew my thinking in this area. For some of us, you might be wrestling with this whole creation evolution thing, and that's why we need to get guys in like Gary Bates next weekend, who's going to press some buttons, who's going to maybe reveal some of the ways we are thinking unbiblically about the world, about science and stuff like that. So I want to really encourage you, come ready to, you know, potentially be offended, but also be challenged to think biblically. But also in terms of finance, also in terms of your work, in terms of your career. While I was praying through this, I felt that God wants to really transform the way some of us think about these things. And I specifically felt there's people that have been wrestling with the situation, with struggles, with challenges, obstacles. And what God is actually inviting you to do this evening is to bring that before Him and say, Lord, I know this is risky, but I want to ask that You would show me if I need to change the way I'm thinking about this. I need to transform my thoughts around this topic. Could be relationships, could be marriage. You know, we find couples that come to us for marriage preparation, and then we find sometimes that depending on where the person has come from and depending on their experience of marriage or the way they grew up, they have a picture of marriage. And often in the first few sessions, a lot of what we do is just to say, so, you know what, let's just throw out all the junk, all the stuff the enemy's been putting on our heads for so many years, and let's look at what's biblical. What is the created order and the created purpose for marriage? And then you can see lights going on, and people are like, wow, actually now I really want to get married. You know, this is amazing. but I just feel God is what is specific stuff that people have been wrestling through, and I believe God is inviting you to bring that before Him. But that's going to mean yielding it to Him. So, Lord, I need to transform my mind about this thing. I'm not even sure if I'm thinking biblically around this. Why don't you show me what Your heart is? Please stand with me this evening. Amen. So, yeah, let's just bring our hearts and minds before God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word this evening, Lord. We thank You that You've made a new and living way for us, Lord. Thank You that You have brought us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, Lord. That You've bought us free. You've paid the price. You've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But this evening, Lord, we humbly come and we acknowledge, Lord, that there's a lot of transformation that still needs to happen, Lord. There's a lot of sanctification needs to happen. We are working out our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. We are trusting you, Lord, to see more of Christ formed in us on a daily basis. Lord, that we would not come into eternity born again, but still bound in our minds and our thoughts, not yet fully living in the freedom for which Christ has set us free, Lord. This evening, Lord, we trust that especially in our hearts and minds that Christ would be established. The mind of Christ, the heart of Christ be established, Lord. Lord, we recognize that we are often still think and operate and live according to the world. We're still being conformed. And this evening we humbly come and ask, Lord, that you would transform us, Lord. Transform us into the image of Christ by the renewing of our minds, by changing the way we think, Lord. So we humbly come, Lord. We bring our minds before you. I just sense this, even right now, there's storms going on in minds. Thoughts flying at 120 k's an hour, just this way and that way. And just, some are wrestling with thoughts just all over the place. So we just speak peace into those storms right now in the name of Jesus. Be still. Be still in the name of Jesus. Be still in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can quieten our minds right now. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, the beginning and the end. Come, Lord Jesus, transform us. Make us new, Lord. Every part of who we are, Lord. Every part of our thinking, every part of our doing, Lord, every part of our belief system, the way we approach life, Lord, that you would transform us, Lord. And I just feel that you just right now, you're just stirring in hearts a desire to be discipled, a desire, the realization to say, I want to do the encounter series, I want to be equipped, I want to grow, I want to have a transformed mind, I want to have my mind renewed, I want to know what God thinks about this stuff. So I thank you that you stir that desire in us to grow, Lord. I thank you with that, a boldness and a commitment, courage, Lord, to press into that, Lord, not to get discouraged, not to get tired, but to press into that discipleship journey, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. And as every eye is closed this evening, I feel specifically there's some that, yeah, you find yourself overthinking stuff. You find yourself wrestling with that negativity that I've been saying. And you find yourself often ending up just in seconds, ending up worst case scenario, just dwelling on the absolute worst case, not being able to get it out of your head. I feel God wants to deliver you and help you to discern when that happens and to turn your thoughts the other way. To say, Lord, you are my strength and my shield. You are my exceedingly great reward. Just to fix it, to start praising, start praying, start putting the scripture in, start turning those pathways into new ones. I also felt this some year that have been wrestling with anxiety around studies, and it's not just normal academic stress. There's, you've really been experiencing extreme anxiety around this, and I really feel God wants to minister to you this evening. If there's anybody specific, eyes are closed now. If that's you this evening, you've been just wrestling with that kind of anxiety, would you just raise your hand for a moment? Thanks so much for your honesty. We're going to be praying for you in just in a moment. You can lower your hands again. And then I felt there's somebody that's recently gone through a relational trauma. It might have been a breakup or a long-standing close friendship that has just gone completely pear-shaped. I just feel God is wanting to reach out to you in a place of just wrestling through those emotions and that kind of relational trauma. And God, I just feel God wants to meet you where you're at and wants to speak life into that area. If that's you, while every eye is closed, why don't you just raise your hand for a moment? I'm just going to see if I'm going to pray with you a bit later. Thanks so much. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. You're so good. You're so faithful, Lord. I thank you that you know every heart in this place. I thank you that it's your desire for each one here to have a relationship with you, to know you as the Father, to know you as Lord and Savior, to know you as healer and redeemer, deliverer, friend. That's your desire, Lord. As every eye is closed, if you're here this evening and you know that you are not right with God, you know you're far from Him, you know maybe you've had some kind of relationship with Him in the past, but right now where you're at, you know you need to make right with Him. You need to return. Or maybe for the first time, you're having that conviction in your heart that you are following the way of the world. Maybe right now, for the first time, you are realizing that you need Jesus to save you from your destiny, that from your eternal death in sin. If that's you and you realize right now you want to follow Christ, you want to turn away from your old life, you want to receive His gift of salvation that is ours through the blood of Jesus, through the fact that He died in our place, taking our sin upon Himself, taking our pain and our punishment and our every curse upon Himself, so that you and I can be free, that you and I can have a real living relationship with the real living God. And right now you know you are that person. You want to make that decision and you want to follow Him, repenting of your sin, following him as Lord and Savior. If that's you this evening, is every eyes closed, won't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you this evening. Is there anybody like that? Thanks so much. Is there anybody else? Thank you. I sense there's maybe one or two that you've known, you've been close with God, but right now you know you're far. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you of stuff and of patterns in your mind and your thoughts. And I feel the Father is just inviting you to come home. I just feel there's somebody that's, well, you were actually being discipled, you were actually walking deliberately with Christ, but right now the Father is calling you back to that place of deliberately following Him. Is there anybody like that? So much. Now I've mentioned a whole lot of different people and a whole lot of different hands with different prayer needs, but I want to ask you all to come forward and we're going to have somebody pray with you. So if you raise your hands in the last while for all the words that I shared, please be bold and come to the front. But specifically for those prayer needs, please be bold and come to the front. We're going to spend some time praying for you. You know, just trust God for breakthrough and just trust God to minister to you. Amen. Thanks so much for your boldness. I really appreciate it. Can we have some facilitators also come to the front? Thanks so much, guys. Amen. So we've got a whole bunch of different prayer needs now. So please, if you're praying for somebody, just make sure you get just a chat with them briefly to hear what you need to pray for. I'm going to close the service now. We're going to be praying for people in the front here. If there's any other prayer need, especially those words that were shared beforehand, if any of those are relevant to you, please come to the front. Respond to what God is saying. It's such a precious moment, this, and we treat it as that, because what's happening is God is speaking into hearts, and as people respond, this amazing grace that happens right there. This grace for that situation. There's a humbling of hearts that happens, and there's God saying, I'm giving grace to the humble for the situation. Amen. So if that's you, please join us in the front. Respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we're going to trust God for something to change. Amen. So if you need healing, if you need any other prayer, please also come to the front. I'm just going to pray and close, and then we're going to minister in the front. Your Father, we thank you so much, Lord. You're so good, Lord. We thank you for every soul, yeah. We thank you that for every heart that you are touching right now, Lord. We thank you that you're drawing people close to yourself, Lord. I just sense you speaking over every heart, specifically those in front of you, saying, I love you so much. I want you near me. I want you close, closer than before. Every lie of the devil, we cut off now in the name of Jesus. Every destructive thought pattern that has caused destruction, that has caused cycles of destruction, vicious cycles of destruction, we cancel you in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, we speak death over those patterns and those cycles in the name of Jesus. And we speak the peace of God over our hearts and minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I just see that you are stepping into those storms, Lord. And you are speaking your peace right now. And even as I was praying this morning, I saw an image of bright light shining into deep darkness, breaking through deep dark clouds. And I thank you, Lord, right now that you are shining your light and your life into deep darkness, dark situations, desperate situations, Lord, hopeless situations. Thank you that you are shining your light, Lord. You're shining new hope and life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now this evening for an anointing, Lord, for us to prophesy over the valleys of dead bones, even as the prophet, as you instructed the prophet to prophesy, Ezekiel, over the valley that was dead until a mighty army arose. Thank you that this evening I sense some here will receive grace to speak life over seemingly hopeless situations, but to speak his promise and his word and his will over those situations again. Thank you, Lord. We ask even this week, Lord, that you'd continue, Lord, to give us grace to discern when that something is not of you, Lord, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to change those pathways, Lord, to renew our minds, Lord, so that we'd be praising, that we'd be fixing our minds on things above, Lord, that we would continually be immersing ourselves in the Scripture, Lord, and in your truth and your reality, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for good fruit of this word in our lives, and we ask that this good fruit will bring glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks so much for your patience this evening. If you need prayer, please join us in the front. If some facilitators can still join us in the front, I'd appreciate that. If you want to fellowship outside, go for it. Enjoy your time there. If you are a new visitor, please hand in your card at the outside in the green area. If you want to just stay and worship a bit in God's presence, you're welcome to do that. Thanks so much for joining us. Join us next week, Sunday morning. Don't miss out on that. God bless. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.